I used to think that our job was to get all humans more in touch with their emotions. I thought that because that's what I was trained to think, and so were you, and so were all therapists. I started questioning that. Emotional intelligence is actually more helpful to women than it is to men.
Welcome to the Psychotherapy Notes Podcast. Big information, little episodes.
Welcome again to the Psychotherapy Notes Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Caldwell. On our last episode, we talked about the gender gap in psychotherapy and how it impacts both therapist incomes and the client experience, specifically the male client experience. Today, we offer a bit of a different take on gender in psychotherapy. Angela Caldwell is a licensed family therapist in Los Angeles, and she runs the Self-Injury Institute, which specializes in family-based treatment for non-suicidal self-injury. While a lot of that work involves adolescent girls and their families, as you might expect, she's also undergone something of a transformation in how she works with men. The rest of today's episode is her story.
I've been in the field now for 14 years, and I would say probably the most important shift from the time I started until now, and I know this is going to sound funny when I say it, but it's realizing as a therapist that the name of the game is not to turn a man into a woman. There's a scene in Titanic when Titanic's going, well, I guess it's a series of scenes where Titanic is sinking. And everyone's jumping on the lifeboats and trying to get on lifeboats. And you hear the announcement, women and children, women and children. So as a moviegoer, I identify with the female in the movie. And so I eat my popcorn and smile and enjoy the movie because I don't feel any anxiety when I identify with the female character. Because when the ship goes down, I know that I would have a seat on the life raft because I am a woman. The men have to do this very primal thing where they have to turn to each other and size each other up. It's a great scene for me because it's a demonstration of women having intrinsic value and men having to prove their worth to win that seat. So I think one of the characters tries to buy his seat. Another character tries to bully his way onto the seat. Another guy tries to plead his way onto. They all try different strategies to get essentially what we're calling belongingness to the group. I started having conversations with men, in my personal life, about therapy. And men who are close to me started talking frankly to me about the world of therapy. And I this is embarrassing to admit, I finally listened. When I understand that men are trying really hard from an anxiety place to prove that they are worthy, I stopped rolling my eyes at men bragging, realizing, oh, they're trying to show that they have the sharpest spear or that they can run the fastest or that they can, whatever, you know, provide something necessary to the group. So I remember making a conscious change. I remember thinking to myself on like a Monday, say, okay, I'm going to see so-and-so and so-and-so. I'll call them Mark, John, and Steve today. And I'm going to stop pretending like I know how to be a man better than they know how to be a man, by making them more like me, more like a woman. And so I worked differently and I changed in my mind. I changed the goal of therapy. And, you know, this is helpful to me. I don't know if it's helpful to other people. It's helpful for me to think in primal terms rather than teach them how to take care of their young. I'm going to help them sharpen their spear. And so I did. And I have marked that shift, that change, as the day my therapy with men started to get much more successful. So the best example that I have of this is a client of mine, and I want to change some of the details so I can protect him. The best example that I have is Stephen. And Stephen, I think his presenting problem was depression, maybe some anxiety. He wanted to come to therapy to, you know, to address that stuff. I think he was studying to be a social worker. So he was kind of psychologically minded. And he came to therapy. We did the traditional therapy, kind of one-on-one individual work. I was helping him become, more emotionally intelligent and grow a vagina. And he's incredibly emotionally intelligent. But it wasn't really helping him in life, because what he was facing in life was, financial problems. He needed to buy a house. There was something going on with his living arrangement. He spent a lot of his sessions talking to me about feelings, which is what he and I and the therapy world and people who aren't even in therapy understand therapy to be. And the name of the problem was he couldn't get the bank to approve a loan. In therapy, he was talking about his insecurity, his anxiety about not being able to provide for his family, his depression because he felt like his wife was disappointed in him. So we were spending a lot of time processing, a word that I still am not sure what it means, but talking about what he felt. And I was helping him really feel into his depression, and I was helping him manage his anxiety. And the truth is, he was managing his anxiety, but he was never getting the loan. The reason he's a great example is because I was working with him when I made the shift in my own brain. And I remember the session when I sat down with him and we started talking again about this financial problem and this problem getting his family a home. And we talked about what it would be like for him to sharpen his damn spear, to go run faster than the other guys and get the deer and bring home his share of the kill. That session took on a different flavor altogether. And we started talking about what it would look like if he went to the bank, kind of spoke to man to man to whatever lender, and said, listen, here's how this is going to go, rather than, you know, pretty please, sir, can I? And I remember feeling very different. I remember very unsure, like, I don't think this is how you do therapy, but I'm going to try it anyway. And him, Stephen, feeling the difference, commenting on the difference. And us leaving the session, I think both of us kind of unsure but excited. It was hours later, at the end of the day, that I got a call from him. Incredibly excited. He had gotten the loan. And he was on his way to tell his wife to bring home, he was on his way to bring home his share of the kill. And what I heard in his voice was qualitatively different than what I had heard in his voice for months and months before that. Our therapy took on a totally different flavor. I think our field takes for granted that the goal of therapy is emotional intelligence. And that if you are not working toward emotional intelligence, you are therefore not doing therapy. That can be one goal of therapy. But another goal of therapy, especially if you're working with a male client, can be to challenge them to be more of a man.
If you want to learn more about Angela's Self-Injury Institute, visit selfinjuryinstitute.com. In the interest of full disclosure, I should probably note that I sometimes do work with the Institute, and that Angela has the same last name as me because she's my wife. If you have a story about how your work with men has changed, we would love to hear it. Visit the Contact Us page on our website at psychotherapynotes.com, where you can download all episodes, some extended interviews, and much more. From Los Angeles, I'm Ben Caldwell. See you next time.
The Psychotherapy Notes podcast is a production of Ben Caldwell Labs. Visit our website at bencaldwelllabs.com for therapist training, advocacy tools, license exam prep, and much more.